Cape Talk. A world view from London with Adam Gilchrist.
Good morning, Adam. How are you doing this morning?
I'm going to go 9 out of 10. I'm very much enjoying the comments from the good people of Cape Town. And your mental maths on air. It was. I could hear the cogs going round. It was wonderful.
They were creaky, weren't they?
You know, my mother was just a teenager, just about at the end of the Second World War. And she used to say, I do remember, that teenagers hadn't been invented then. They weren't invented until the 1950s. Do you remember those old photos? Everyone in the sort of 1930s and 40s dressed like their parents, who dressed like their parents, who dressed like their parents. Everyone looked like they were all about 45, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. They were all very grown up. Okay, Sri Lankan food queues. What's happening?
Yeah, pandemic, I'm afraid, is partly to blame on this. Essential items running out, especially things like cereal, rice, milk powder and so forth. I imagine toilet rolls are always in there, aren't they? For some reason, we all go and start stocking up on that and they run out. It's partly down to the tight COVID lockdown measures. Sri Lanka has imposed that of late, all the way across the island. The government, of course, is blaming the media for stoking the fear and therefore shortages, people panic buy, etc. We've all seen panic buying, haven't we? And the impact that has
Indeed.
On our local stores. There, of course, are now restrictions as a result on what you can now buy. So you can't go and buy 100 toilet rolls. You really ought to just, you know, whatever, or 20 bags of rice. But we're talking about a country as well. Whilst the pandemic is one thing and the lockdown is another, there's also a growing debt burden, 69% of GDP. That's pretty much doubled in a very short space of time. Inflation is galloping away. There's a depreciating currency, so imports, of course, are getting more expensive. A lack of tourism is damaging the economy, isn't it, for all of us? And an economy already riddled with problems, debt, doubt, you name it. So throw in the pandemic on top of that, and I'm sure there are some very familiar kind of sounds coming out of Sri Lanka.
Interesting stuff. And then obviously over the weekend, yesterday was September 11th. Saturday was September 11th, rather.
Yeah.
And the FBI 9/11 files are linking Saudi Arabia.
Yes, although it's not conclusive proof. It's not really quite a direct finger pointing at the Crown Prince or something. But nonetheless, a declassified document and deliberately done, of course, because we know that 15 of the 19 hijackers on 9/11 were indeed Saudis, and Osama bin Laden, although he sort of moved around a bit, had basically Saudi heritage. And this new file has a bunch of stuff in it, but the main one is that it links two of the hijackers with a supposed Saudi intelligence agent. Now, that is not a conclusive evidence of a link to the government in Riyadh. And indeed, the Saudi embassy in Washington has suggested any claims of that link would be false and malicious, as they put it. And they've said things like that all the way along. But I don't know, anyone feel that's that? Anyone feel it's all done and dusted with exactly who these guys were, where they came from, and who paid for it? I don't feel like we've quite got to the bottom of it. Or is it a JFK thing? We'll never quite know.
The flying of the plane.
Exactly. Who financed the whole operation?
Oh, the financing.
Who masterminded it other than Osama bin Laden?
We do. I'm telling this to every single contributor on the show. Please watch Turning Point, 9/11 and the War on Terror on Netflix. They do actually tie in the gentleman who funded and kind of masterminded the entire thing. He's not Osama bin Laden. And they obviously have every single one of the guys who hijacked planes. And I suppose there's a little bit more background to it. But yeah, it's 5 episodes. Just watch it, Adam. You'll love it.
So you don't think the FBI files will make any difference to the conclusions in that?
Well, I don't know where that guy got his money from. I know his name, right? And I don't know if he's rich. And what I do know, though, of course, is the United States, if you recall, protected Saudi princes immediately. Remember, they had them flown out of the country. Yeah. So their relationship with Saudi is so powerful that they kept Saudi out of the fight altogether. So I find that very interesting that now it's cropping up as potentially a rich.
Yes.
Anyway,
yeah, what's going on there? Yeah, okay.
Onward, the other part of the Middle East, the Afghan evacuation.
Yeah, this is an update, really. Remember, we were talking about Penfarthing before, the former Royal Marine with an animal sanctuary in Afghanistan, and he managed to get 150 of his cats and dogs out. And there was that feeling, certainly espoused by some, that, hang on a moment, you got your cats and your dogs out, but you left your employees and their families behind. Well, it was Operation Ark. I suppose there's a clue in the name. It was about the animals, not the humans. But here we are now, a couple of weeks later. And indeed, his 68 employees, this is Penfarthing, his 68 employees and family members have now crossed into Pakistan. They're in Islamabad. And I guess all's well that ends well. But I wonder if there's a little disgruntlement. So you put the Cocker Spaniel before us, did you? I don't know. It's fine in the end, isn't it? But you just wondered at the time. I'm sure there are some people in this world who absolutely feel cats and dogs deserve more of a shake of things than human beings
sometimes.
Certainly so.
Okay.
Afghanistan's perhaps a different kettle of fish.
Certainly so. On a positive note, Emma, how do I say the last name? Raducanu?
Raducanu, exactly.
Okay,
that.
Thank you.
Yes, Emma Raducanu, who is classic British multicultural talent and absolutely proof that, you know, forget any nonsense that people sometimes have here. Chinese mother, Romanian father, born in Canada, brought up in Bromley in more or less South London, not far from where I grew up. In fact, she's also, apart from the fact she's now the UK's first female Grand Slam tennis champion since Virginia Wade. Isn't that going back in time? Wimbledon, 1977. That was the last time we had a female Grand Slam champion. Obviously, Andy Murray has come along since. But also, by the way, she's just won the Player of the Year for the County of Kent. I wonder which one was bigger. And apparently, Emma Raducanu is rather good at ballet, horse riding, swimming and go-karting. She's had messages of congratulations from the Queen, Prince William, Kate, the Prime Minister, the England football team. So, do you know what? I think the pressure is off the rest of them. 18 years of age, she's the real deal. And as Martina Navratilova put it, a star is born. I would hasten to add, so is the woman she vanquished in the final, Leyla Fernandez. Wasn't she brilliant? An 18 and a 19-year-old. Yeah, watch out the rest of them.
Indeed. Looking forward to seeing their careers flourish. Thank you so much, Adam Gilchrist, for that worldview.